This week, we are pleased to bring you one of our most popular episodes of 2024. Please enjoy, and we'll be back next week with more insights from the Corruption, Crime, and Compliance podcast.
Each day sees a new sort of threat of, let's say, tariffs or changes in regulatory structures, and this makes it difficult. But compliance officers know how to stay steady in this environment. And one of the most important things is to stay steady to your values and principles. Don't overreact. Don't have knee-jerk reactions to what are today's headlines, because tomorrow's might be very different.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkov.
Hello, everyone. Michael Volkov with Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, back for a new episode. Sorry, we've had several weeks of just repeat episodes. Now we're back to full time and to continuing with new content. Today's episode, we're going to talk about five strategies to mitigate a new risk environment. Legal and compliance officers, as we know, are used to adjustments and continuous improvement of their compliance programs. But in today's world, we're seeing new challenges in terms of rapidly and volatile changing of risk profiles, particularly in the trade area, for obvious reasons, with tariffs, sanctions, imports, exports, all raising new risks and new concerns. So building and maintaining an effective ethics and compliance program never ends, as we know. It is a continuous process. And to this end, in the environment of rapid change, or what I call volatile change, compliance officers know how to remain steady and focus on emerging risks. The strategies are often similar, but the substance differs when new threats are identified. What is unusual about the current environment is the rapid change. Each day sees a new sort of threat of, let's say, tariffs or changes in regulatory structures. And this makes it difficult, but compliance officers know how to stay steady in this environment. And one of the most important things is to stay steady to your values and principles. Don't overreact. Don't have knee-jerk reactions to what are today's headlines, because tomorrow's might be very different. So as a guide, I thought we could talk about five effective strategies for mitigating risk, adapting to volatile risks, and continuing to build ethics and compliance programs in this new risk environment. The first and perhaps most important, and nobody's going to be surprised by this, is to rely upon your company's culture of ethics and compliance. This is your most important strategy, and it's the most important mechanism you have to maintain effective controls. And it is the way to emphasize the importance of adhering to your corporate culture of ethics and compliance. You can't shift your culture in response to changing risks, which may not last for longer than, let's say, a week. What's more important is to reinforce and reemphasize your corporate culture of ethics and compliance and your values and principles for how you operate as a business and an organization, and how you treat each other within that context. A company's corporate culture is its most important intangible asset, and it reinforcing this message is critical. If a company needs to assess its culture, now is the time more than ever. Now is the time not to, let's say, overreact to the current risk environment, but now's the time to focus on your core culture principles. Once completed, that assessment will provide an important foundation for enhancement, monitoring, and mitigation. Employees will embrace this initiative as a source of stability during a time of uncertainty and change and economic dislocation, which appears to be occurring. So all of this is Again, double down on your company's culture of ethics. Second, as a second strategy, we need to conduct a streamlined and updated risk assessment. Now, this is for legal and compliance to conduct a relatively quick risk assessment to capture new risk areas, trade, export and import, tariffs, immigration. We're seeing a lot more focus on supply chain disruption. And how do we manage those risks from a business perspective and from a legal and compliance risk? And we also need to promote third-party transparency. This is something that beneficial ownership and other important elements of third-party risk mitigation have become and are becoming more and more important. As the Trump administration implements sanctions and tariffs, legal and compliance has to adjust relative risk priorities to ensure proper focus on changing risks. So, for example, with the focus now on foreign terrorist organizations and cartel prohibitions, the stakes are very high if there is indirect interactions or indirect payments or indirect interactions and relationships with foreign terrorist organizations or cartels. What that means is it's more important than ever to understand your supply chain, who you're dealing with, who owns the various elements, the companies that you are dealing with. The same goes for the distribution side, where you have to understand where your products are going to, if they're going to ultimately an FTO, or let's say an organization that is owned perhaps by an FTO, then you've got to intervene and stop those activities. The risks here are very high because this is not just a question of, oh, we have a bribery risk with this third party. We have specific legal criminal prohibitions against interactions and dealings with foreign terrorist organizations, such as material support prohibitions. So as the net is cast wider in defining who are the organizations that fall within the FTO category or who are designated cartels, there's a lot more designations going on of these organizations. We have to be really careful about who we're dealing with on the distribution side and who we're dealing with on the supply chain side. Now, the third area we need to look at is, and it's not a new area, but it's one that I think is much more robust, and that is as we have tariffs that are implemented, compliance with tariffs is going to be a higher priority. And this depends obviously on the company's trade profile. Legal and compliance has to assemble and develop tariff compliance expertise. If a company's products are subject to tariffs, either on the supply chain and or the distribution chain channel, the company has to ensure proper classification, which is an important and critical element of your tariff applicability. If you can classify a product that doesn't fall within the tariff definition, then you're going to have the ability to exclude or avoid the tariff. However, there are really difficult issues that can come up under the classification scheme, and they are complex. In addition, you have to look at the scope of the tariff. In other words, how many layers, it's not just simply the import of an item that's subject to a tariff, and that's the only time that it gets tagged with a tariff, let's say surcharge. It also can continue into your distribution chain, into your manufacturing process, and it can continue beyond just the first step of bringing a product import into the country. Now, there also are legitimate tariff minimization strategies that can be used and potential exclusions which might be available, although the administration is trying to tighten some of those up. And other issues can come up as they arise with regard to specific tariffs. U.S. Customs and Border Control has been charged with aggressive enforcement of tariffs. There are going to be economic incentives to circumvent tariffs, and there may be economic incentives for your, let's say, third parties to circumvent tariffs. And we're going to have to be mindful as to maintaining compliance and maintaining a resolute focus in this area. So tariff compliance should be a new area and one that we should become more robust in. Now, going back to some of my broken record strategies, one is sanctions and export controls. And I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but trade compliance now extends beyond tariffs, and we're seeing a prelude to more robust sanctions and export controls enforcement. Regulators from both the Treasury Department and the Commerce Department have warned that penalties will increase and that we will see more aggressive enforcement. Regulators have promised these stiff penalties for companies that violate sanctions and export controls. And the Trump administration is planning to focus on primary targets such as China and Iran and employ aggressive use of secondary sanctions against any entities that deal with China and deal with Iran in violation of U.S. sanctions. Until the Russia-Ukraine war is resolved, Russian sanctions are likely to stay in place. Once lifted, companies are going to have to adjust to a new reality of global trade, elevating potential activity with Russia while reducing trade activities with China. But keep in mind, no matter how they're modified, the Russia-Ukraine sanctions are going to be complex. They're going to remain complex. It's hard to remove layer after layer of those sanctions and export controls without carefully understanding what remains, what has to still be dealt with, and what kind of relief was actually granted. As enforcement risks grow, companies have to focus on third-party trade compliance risks and commit to robust training programs to ensure adequate understanding of these risks. And finally, let me repeat yet another, but you're not going to be surprised, risk, which is third-party risk adjustments. With the FCPA enforcement pause, but the continued international prosecution of bribery cases, but with the new orientation of FCPA enforcement, companies have to adjust their third-party risk profiles to account for trade risks and potential indirect relationships, like I mentioned earlier, with cartels and transnational criminal organizations, TCOs. While this is unlikely to lead to a significant shift in risk ratings, some tweaking or modifications will help the company to focus its resources to uncover potential risky relationships. So those are my top five. Obviously, there's more to this with, you know, artificial intelligence and other issues coming up, as we see with regard to an immigration enforcement, as we see in this new risk environment. But we need to be careful, and companies need to take appropriate steps to implement these five new strategies and bring about a better focus and a better risk mitigation strategy in a careful and deliberate manner. Remember, nothing knee-jerk, nothing change just for change's sake, but do it responsibly in response to serious and potential risks. Okay, thanks everybody. We'll see you next week for another episode, and it's good to be back. Thank you again for your time.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.